Hello, everyone. Welcome to You Me podcast. My name is Braden Weatherbone. Tonight we have a podcast. It's something to do with the internet or something. It was ranked one of the top 300 podcasts of the Mid-Atlantic by FoxNews.com. What is a podcast? Why are we making a list of podcast lists? Tonight we have exciting guests. First up is someone that's from DC and does anything. This person adds to the cultural flavor of DC because it is a person. Honestly, the standards aren't too high in this town. The homeless guy that looks like Frederick Douglass that lives on my block is the third most culturally relevant person in DC. According to FoxNews.com, what is culture and what is DC flashpole non-scientific? Next is a comedy person guest. He thinks that he's going to be famous because he did an open mic one time at Walter Reed Hospital, Laughing Gas Ward. Honestly, you know, after suffering the travails of open combat and after getting really high on laughing gas, you know, anything's funny. So, let's give it up. Finally, we have a musician. It is a girl, and she has a guitar. So, that's something. This musician was ranked fourth on FoxNews.com. Predator strike drone list. So we might get blowed up tonight from Predator. Now I'm going to talk about something that makes me upset for like just a little bit. When I was 13... Nirvana Nevermind was an album that existed. I'm referencing Nirvana to give this speech an edge that I never could attain when I was 13. Honestly, if I had an edge when I was 13, I'd probably be a lawyer or something. I wouldn't be up here. So, other things that make me upset is when the Klingons attacked the Millennium Falcon. And honestly, what was Spielberg thinking with that Jar Jar Binks character? I mentioned Battlestar Galactica because I want to alienate everyone that isn't a nerd. Alienate. Pardon the pun. This podcast tonight is going to be like the 9/11 of podcasts. Not in terms of overall destruction or death, but more so because it's going to make everyone really bummed. So without further ado, my podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Wonderland Ballroom, welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. What was your name? Brendan?
Weatherbone.
Brendan Weatherbone. I want to thank Brendan Weatherbone for making it out here tonight. He completely took everything I was going to say, and I don't have a monologue anymore. I'm going to miss a good friend of mine. His name is Adam Friedland, and this isn't a joke. I've known Adam for a little over a year, and he's been a real big bright spot in my life. He's consistently funny, and more importantly than that, he's just a really good guy. And besides, like, being a funny person, which has been incredibly difficult to do, and he does it quite well, he also lived at this space that gave a lot of artists a chance to, like, do really cool stuff. He let my friends from Chicago book a last-minute show, and that show was a giant success, and it wouldn't have happened without him. And those people are called Everything is Terrible. And what Everything is Terrible does is they take all these, like, really awful things on VHS, be it film, instructional video, etc., and they smash cut it together to make it delightful. And that's kind of what Adam has been in my life. It's just some young kid that I will never understand, that will always be funnier than me. And I'm definitely going to miss him. And if anything, I want to end with this part of the monologue. It's going to be a fun show. I want to get serious for 1 second. Adam Friedland taught me that it's possible for Jewish people to be funny. And that I don't think there's a lot of Jewish performers out there. And I also don't think there's a lot of white male performers out there either. So for the first time in my life, I finally understand white Jewish male humor. And I mean, without Adam, I would have never understood anything in pop culture. But we have a fantastic show tonight. We have Christian Hunt. We have Alahe Azadi, and we have music from Johari. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I might not be. Jen Tisdale is the delightful co-host.
Hello. That's right. You need to scream like that so they know I'm attractive.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'm going to give it up to my house band, Double D Day. Jen, can you hear anything?
Oh, God, just the sound of my heart dying.
Jen and I, and Adam and Nathan, we went to a podcast taping last night. We went to see Greg Proops at the DC Improv, and it was quite good. And you said you had a story to share about said experience.
About last night?
Yeah.
When I shit my pants?
Okay, did that actually happen?
I literally shit my pants last night.
When did you shit your pants?
You might have been in the car with me.
Really? You shit your pants in the car?
But look how good I've gotten at it. You didn't even know. I've done it so many times.
Well,
I'm like the James Bond of which one should I be, though? Should I be the, like,
you're Pierce Brosnan.
Okay, I'm like that. I'm the Jewish James Bond. Is there, of shitting
is that
my
a
pants?
Thing?
Yeah, it is. It's James Bond. Stein.
That's racist, right? Is
yeah.
That good.
I'm trying. Am I doing it?
Yeah, I don't know anymore. We had a very fun evening. We got to see a white man talk about his opinions for an hour and a half.
And baseball. That's when I tuned out.
I know, which is literally 60% of the podcast.
Yeah.
I loved it so much. I brought all these people I really, like, respect, and I'm just looking at them hoping that they're still paying attention. They weren't. They were on their phones.
Well, that's why he kept saying, and people are walking out now. And I was like, oh, I didn't pay for this, so I'm going to stay.
Yeah, it was a very fun night, and there was really no story, and then I just wanted to bring up the fact that Jen actually shit her pants last night. So
for like the fifth time over the age of 21.
Good for you. Jen's figure, for those listening at home, Jen is a very svelte, beautiful woman, and that figure does not come easy, but now we know how it comes.
Yep.
There you go.
Comes right out. Right on out.
We didn't need to say it, but we understand it was a cum joke. We understand.
Was it implied or inferred? Hey!
Callback!
A joke nobody will get but us. Sorry, guys.
Wait like 2 weeks and people will get it. Coming to the stage, our first guest of the... Is the band getting a phone call right now? Are you getting a phone call right now?
I just know somebody out there.
No? By the way, I'm not a big fan of our guitarist tonight. Our guitarist's name is Ian Graham. He plays in this wonderful band called Lenorable. But I don't like him because he's a freshman, and I mean, we just don't like freshmen in this. So if you're ever going to come to the show and you're a freshman, don't wear your Letterman jacket. I want to see him some varsity badges. Coming to the stage, our first guest of the evening, he is the host of the Capital City Showcase. He is a man in red. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Christian Hunt.
All right.
Christian, how are you?
Oh, Brandon, I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me. Thanks for coming out. Jen, how are you?
Did you move your chair away from me? I'm not
going to
I'm not gonna shit on you right now.
Well, geez. You know, I get nervous when I'm next to you.
Let me finish my beer first.
Oh, of course.
We'll see.
Christian is the host of the Capital City Showcase. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, that is how it is. In the King's English, that's how we pronounce it.
I do prefer the King's English to everything. I prefer the King's Dominion Bible. It's a fun Bible. Sorry, that was stupid.
Oh, no, I loved it.
Thanks, Jen.
You're welcome.
Good co-host.
Nice.
What is the Capital City Showcase?
Capital City Showcase is a DC-themed variety show that is monthly. We have it at the DC Arts Center in Adams Morgan every month. We've had everything from stand-up comedians to improv comedians to storytellers to hip-hop artists, rock bands, funk bands, you name it. We've had a little bit of everything. It's comedy, so it's music.
So out of the six things you said, four of those are good, and two, one is questionable, and what was the racial makeup of the funk band? I'll tell you if that one was good.
The lead singer was black.
The rest
were white. No, they were good. They really were. They're up on lunch.
They were fun, weren't they?
They were a lot of fun.
Yeah, that makes sense. Why do you do this?
Good question. I've always been into performing since I was a kid.
But you're hosting and you're producing.
Yes. Well, yeah, I'll get to that. No, I'm just kidding.
He's going to do a tight 20 minutes. I know.
This is the whole hour. This is an hour and a half, right?
We'll get there.
No, I've done performing since I was a little kid. I've done theater since I was 10 and did plays all the way up through high school and college, started dabbling in stand-up.
You don't look like a theater guy.
No, not at all.
I don't get that vibe from you.
I don't know.
Sir.
Not the typical thespian. Unless Rolling Thunder started, enlisting thespians.
That reference is way too local. Rolling Thunder is this annual DC motorcycle race ever.
It's also
rally.
A ride at
King's Dominion.
King's Dominion is
yes,
the So I guess the theme tonight is King's Dominion.
Right. And I've always liked putting things together and events together, so I kind of married the two and came up with the idea for the showcase because I knew there was a lot of local talent here, a lot of people that needed a place
to
play.
Is there?
Yes, I would say yes.
Here's why. I do this show.
I didn't realize I'd have to come here the knight of the DC talent and be like, I must defend DC.
That was my favorite question you've ever asked.
Is there?
And it was two words.
Oh, man. Jeez. Yes. I don't know. Is there more to the question, or should I just...
Answer it.
Answer it. No, I truly believe there is. And there always has been. I think that, people... It's funny because... Someone who I grew up in D.C. is born and raised in the district in the Global.
Which is also very rare,
right?
You mean literally? I was about to go Maryland or Virginia.
No, Glover Park, which is might as well be saying, yeah, I know, right? What up?
That person's driven through there.
Exactly.
Yay!
That person passed through there exactly once.
Seen it on a map.
But born and raised in D.C., and it's funny you mention that because one of the first people when I was starting the show and trying to get advice for. Things that I was the idea is one of the first people I talked to was Ian MacKay of Minor Threat Fugazi fame, who happened to grow up across the street from me, and he was super nice and super cool. This is a guy who obviously is for those who don't know is one of the main founders and performers of the DC hardcore movement, and he gave me some really good advice, and I think there's always been a scene.
What was Ian's advice?
Great conversation. This was back in 2010, before I started the showcase. I had these grandiose ideas that I would, I'd get this big show together and do a pitch and try to get somebody with money, and then he cut me right off, and he said, no. You want to pitch shit, go to L.A. or New York. In D.C., we do things. You got an idea for a show, put it together and do it. And then 2 months later, I had the first showcase, and that really
so
kind of...
So he Yoda'd you.
Pretty much.
He was
so.
Like, there is no try.
So the only advice was just do it.
Yeah. It really put things to light. You got an idea and build. Start it. Don't lose money on the show. Just start it and then build from there.
Have you lost money on the show?
Overall, no. I mean, you've had certain shows that have had better turnouts than others. We had a really big, ambitious project at Riot Act Theater. There was an amazing show. It was called DMV Storytellers. It was similar to VH1 Storytellers. We had a guy, Justin Trawick, who's a talented acoustic performer. We had Lalo, who's a really, really talented hip-hop artist. And then Maimouna Youssef, who's a talented soul singer. We got them all together with a house band, and it was an absolutely phenomenal show.
But
not a lot of people showed up. But that's what you learn. You learn, what's going to work and where, and we're going to try the show again at a different venue and hope it works out.
Do you think Ian MacKay would have ever done anything at Riot Act? I'm not, no. I'm no. because the DCAC is a lot more similar to something like St. Stephen's,
right?
Where he did a lot, and his wife currently does a lot of stuff,
right?
That's a it's a no alcohol $5 usual cover. Riot right. Act is the opposite,
right? You know, I think I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't okay. talk to him about
I'm
it.
I'm not trying to give you shit. I think what you're no, doing is very good.
Yeah, no, I think that he.
I love that venue.
You know,
Riot Act? You just want to get booked.
No,
fuck
I love
you.
DCAC. No, stop DC... it. I love the venue where. Stop it. I've been to Riot Act once. I thought I was in a mall. I got so confused.
Yeah. I think the main drawback with me for Riot Act personally was that it gave me, you know, DCAC, the one drawback is that it's limiting as far as size. So, you know, we've had bands before, and the bands that we've had are good, but they blow the walls right out of there.
Yeah, the stage size is roughly what right. we're on now.
And that was there's... why, like, we did just a regular Capital City showcase there.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. That was back in January. It was a huge turnout, a huge success. We had a rock band. We had that label, that same rapper. We had four comedians, an improv comedian. And it was just a phenomenal show, top to bottom.
You seem very enthused by what you're doing.
I am.
How old are you?
I am 29 years of age.
That's my age.
Oh, God. Of time. Sure, all right.
Why, all right, why not?
Are you an improviser? You stand up? What are you?
Me, personally, I do stand-up. I'm doing stand-up next week at Fire Station in Silver Spring, doing a set out there.
Am I doing that with you? No, that's
are you
not
doing that with me?
No, you're doing the Capital City
Showcase.
You're
doing the showcase next week.
Yes.
Don't be late.
Somebody get my calendar.
Right. I do stand-up on the side. I play music as well.
What kind of music?
We had a band, my friend Dave and I, and my friend Dave is much more talented than I am, and he played guitar, and I played keyboard, and we did a keyboard-guitar thing at Rockville. I know, right? Exactly. Pretty much.
Wait. Christian, are you single?
Why?
You tell me.
Yes, I am currently single.
You're currently single?
Can you believe it?
Not really. Do you have a job?
I do have a job.
What's your job?
My pay the bills job is I'm a manager at a restaurant up in Friendship Heights.
Wait. So you have a full-time job?
Yes.
You host a show?
Yes.
You got a suit?
Yes. You and know, a badass suit at that, am I right, crowd?
You play an instrument.
At least one person clapped. Yeah, I know, right.
There's so many jokes I want to make about your suit, but they're all racist.
So funny story, that's not racist.
Keep going.
But I actually
could you make it racist?
I had a pimp come up to me.
Yep,
and
there you go.
There it is. No, he came up to me and said I was trying too hard. I need to tone it down. I swear to God, Brian Parisi, who's a very funny comedian, was there. He is my witness. That actually happened. He came up to me and was like, no, man, let me tell you something. It's too much, man. It's too much. And the funny thing is that if I wasn't there, he would have had the loudest suit in the place. But, of course, I was there, so I think it might have been.
And you have not heeded this man's advice at all.
Not in the slightest, no. Well, yeah, I was explaining to someone earlier that I wanted, obviously it's a bit of a gimmick, but I wanted to look like the DC flag kind of jumped off the wall and came to life, which is why the red and the white, so. Here I am.
I get the idea.
Right.
I just got the idea.
And Jen's done the show before, which is
I
the
have.
Funny part.
That was the funnest show.
Oh, that was a good one.
That crazy hip-hop group.
That
they were
was
children.
A good one. There was, yeah, that kid was like, what, 12?
What's wrong? You're so
Jen,
upset.
Jen, how many times have I put you up?
At
shows.
Oh, this was not the most fun.
Thank you.
I'm
Thank
sorry.
Jesus Christ.
It was like the third or fifth most fun.
I didn't mean
said,
but... in all, like out of their shows.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
No, that was a wacky one. That was a good one.
And Kronberg was in the audience, which was weird, wearing shorts.
What do you think of men in shorts?
They have to be long. You can't have go running around in dangle
so, like,
shorts.
Board shorts.
Like you have to be board shorts. And
they were obviously jorts.
Here's the amazing thing about men in about shorts. Every guy in America has at least 1 to 3 pairs of jeans in their wardrobe.
Yes.
But when you turn jeans into jorts, it just doesn't work, and I've never been able to figure out why. But it's true.
Well,
that's the right answer.
Unless you're John Cena, that doesn't really seem to work.
Nice pull, by the way.
Thank you.
John Cena. What are your thoughts on the current WWE lineup?
I've been kind of watching on and off. Although I will say, my friend and I, we actually played.
No, the right answer is CM Punk is the best.
CM Punk is the best then. But we actually played a drinking game with WrestleMania 3. I bought it on DVD and we played a drinking game.
Wait, how do you play a drinking game with something you know what happens?
Well, it kind of devolved. Like we were like a shot for every body slam, a shot for every interview,
so like
and then
minutes.
It kind of devolved. Like
a shot for every interview. They do interviews between every match.
Yeah, we got pretty hammered, and then eventually it just devolved.
Wait! Why don't you just drink?
Well, it was more fun this way.
Was it?
Yeah, it was more memorable.
Did you throw up?
Many times. Because the thing is, my it was with my.
Are you single? Sorry, I'm being mean. I apologize.
And boom goes the dynamite. No, it's
you're
okay.
You're so much nicer than me.
I can take it. It's all right. It's
I know
right.
You can take it. You're a host. You have to deal with this.
This
shit.
Is true.
Who would someone you would never book again?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
No, it's very easy. I could tell you. Right
well,
now.
I mean, it's easy, just but I'm not. Just it's a tough one if you're not trying to be nice. I've had a couple people that could use some work. I've had some people that that were not. I'm sorry. You're looking for something juicy. I'm sorry.
Yes, I am.
I'm too nice.
You are.
I've had some people that struggled that I wouldn't probably avoid.
And their names are.
Oh, you're not going to get me on that.
Their
names, their numbers, their social security numbers, their videos. But I've had some people that. Because it's interesting, because when you're booking, this is what we call, in the political debate world, the pivot, where you don't want to change the subject. But we talk about, there's some people that it's an interesting balance where you've got these incredibly talented people that, for whatever reason, don't draw. They just don't bring people with them.
You want to know, can I maybe throw out a theory?
Go after it.
Well, personally for me, when you do it so often.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
Very true.
Especially, your friends will come to something that counts. And that's a paid show at a club. And I don't even bother to ask people to come to my shows anymore. I mean, that's not why I'm doing it. I mean, for you, it's different because you're putting on the show and people in the seats
matter.
Yeah,
from a producer's standpoint, it sucks. But
I know.
From a producer's standpoint, you have to understand that.
Right. Yeah. Well, absolutely. And that's kind of the delicate, I've talked to other producers, the people that put on shows, and that's kind of the delicate balance. That's the interesting balance where you want people that are definitely going to draw because, again, even if you've got six amazing artists and you don't draw, they're looking at you because you're the producer. And rightfully so. I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying that's the reality.
But
so
if you
can put someone who's going to draw, who's going to bring a lot of people, a lot of friends, that has to be taken into consideration. That being said, if someone genuinely is terrible, they're not going to bring their friends because...
What's their name?
Seriously. Just, do...
One
like,
name.
Rhyme
One.
It with something.
Rhyme it with something.
Rhyme their first name
oh,
with
no, I can't
something.
Do that. I know, I'm sorry.
Natty Braybrooms.
That's
did you say
odd, nice.
Ratty Daybrooms? What did you just say?
I said... Natty Braybrooms.
No, he's good. I'm actually. That's the show I'm doing next week.
Wait, holy shit!
Was that organized by Eric Sampson?
Yes,
I am on that show.
You are. All right, I'll see you next week. Then. Sweet.
Thanks for what's up,
man. High five, both hosts.
I'm a
must
big
be doing
draw.
Well.
I draw a lot, you guys.
Jeez. Do you always hold a stack of bills in your hand when you do this show, Jen?
I was hoping to get a beer at some point.
I love you, Jen.
Nice.
Okay, so what's the goal for the show? The goal for the show isn't to stay at the DCAC forever.
Sure. I mean, I've got a lot of ideas for where I want to take the show. I want to eventually stream it live.
Okay.
I want it to be a live.
Wait, why don't you just do that now?
Well, it's tough because a lot of artists are hesitant to do that.
Because they don't want to burn through material.
Exactly right. Especially when you're asking comedians to do 8-10 minute sets, they're hesitant on having a stream live. And for example, I tape every show, even though I don't put it on the web on my website. I tape every show.
Oh yeah, that's right. What do you do with them? Do I want to know?
Go to YouTube, CapitalCityShowcase.com. There's a YouTube button. Because there are some people that do want their shows, put
absolutely.
Up their...
Oh,
so, for the comedians, what I started doing is, as opposed to doing their whole 10-minute set, I'll take a 2-minute bit.
That's great.
And put that on there and then use
that's
that
that's a
instead.
Great service for a lot of comics.
Right. And
what's that YouTube page?
It's youtube.com/Capital City Showcase.
Thank you for not saying the www. That's completely sincere.
Right.
I appreciate that.
My pleasure. Then check us out. CapitalCityShowcase.com. There's a YouTube button, or you can go to youtube.com/Capital City Showcase. And some artists are cool with it. Some artists aren't for whatever reason. But again, that's a good promotion for me and for them and for the show.
So short-term streaming.
Right, short-term streaming. And then long-term, like I said, I'd love to get to a level where it's a weekly show, where it's a weekly variety show. Because one of the main reasons I started the show is because there is a need to see live entertainment on television, internet, whatever you call it, if you can't actually be there. There's definitely a need for that. My inspiration for the show was when I'd be up really, really late. I'm a junkie for those Time Life collections of sounds of the 70s.
Wait, so your inspiration for your show is late night infomercials?
Yeah.
Well, all right, that's fine.
Right. Now, there was one that specifically was called The Midnight Special, which was a 70s show that showed the best... It showed the best acts of the 70s, but it showed them live, and not BS live like most stuff is today. It was actually live performance from the biggest comedians and musicians of the day. And I thought, where can you see that? Where can you see something like that? And that was one of the big impetuses for me to start the show. So that's where, when I wanted to start the show, that's where I kind of see it going.
So you want to be on TV doing a weekly show that's a variety show.
Right.
That's nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I just was. You're very endearing with how much you care. I don't want to say anything negative. I mean, I will at some point. I'm just.
That's all right.
No, say all of them now. Go.
Go for it. Say all of me.
No, it's got to be organic. Come on.
Go for it.
I think what you're doing is great, and it's a giant service to everybody, and thank you for doing it.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
We're going to end this interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD. Christian.
Wonderful. Yes.
I need you to pick a number between 35 and 51.
Pick a number between 35 and 51?
Yes.
47.
We're out of 47. You get 51.
Okay.
Beyond fairly elementary skills, how much do you think sexual technique contributes to the overall quality of lovemaking? How much knowledge about sexual techniques is sufficient for you? Do you think it is closer to the truth to say that a good lover is someone who is skilled in sexual techniques or someone who is able to develop a strong rapport with his or her partner?
That's an interesting question.
Isn't it?
I believe, you know, if you're asking me about, you know, techniques, it, you know, I think what really matters is how much preparation that the any particular person
how
has
much been. Preparation is necessary.
I think,
for
as
a
the
good
old saying goes, the 6 P's, prior planning prevents piss poor performance. You know, that can apply in this situation here.
Wait, I have no idea what that means.
It means that you have to prepare for certain situations with certain materials to make sure that I think a lot of guys
materials
they neglect
that's,
the
I just
they
crammed neglect, the night before
they neglect the practice that's aspect cramped of it. You know, you look at any professional athlete; they have to practice. They practice a lot before the game.
So
I think
you're equating sexual technique to an athlete preparing for the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to be able
you're
to
single, right?
Once
there
again,
you
the
go
answer is still the same. Oh! Try the veal. Tip your waitress.
Do we have a waitress tonight?
I don't think so.
Do.
No.
Tip Vasile, the bartender. He's a real piece of something. Good guy. He's a real piece of good guy. What's up, Vasile? People could check you out online where?
CapitalCityShowcase.com. See lineups, purchase tickets, see that YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter, the
you
whole
have
bit
stuff monthly?
Monthly. Every month. Yeah, we just got a new contract. We're going to be at DCAC every month until August of 2013. So check us out.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a while.
Check them out there. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Christian Hunt.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, there you go. Here. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I write a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Elahe Azadi!
All right. How you guys doing? Good. All right, well, I like D.C. I'm from here, and one of the reasons I like D.C. is because I feel like people are pretty upfront about how they feel. You know, you might not agree, but if you go to other places, like especially the West Coast, they do not tell you their stances on things. Like, especially Seattle, I go there often, and I was there one night, and it was late, I was in a restaurant, and this white lady bursts in, and she's like obviously on drugs, and she's yelling, "There is a man following me, and he's threatening to be violent, and he happens to be black, not blah, 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 blah." I just like fucked that up totally. That's never happened to me before. I'm out of my mind. Anyway, she was like, "There's a man following me, and he's threatening to be violent, and he happens to be black." Not like it's that relevant, you know, I'm just saying. I'm like, God damn, even the crackheads here are fake-ass liberals, you know? What's the point? What's the point of being a crackhead if you just can't say some shit from time to time, you know? You're pooping in the street. Why are you being passive-aggressive? That's ridiculous. So, you know, we've got some interesting mottos in this area. Like in Prince George's County, if you guys ever go up there, you might notice, clap if you've seen this, on the back of the ambulances there, it says in like this early 90s cursive font, it says, "Keeping it safe, ... in quotation marks. And I'm like, quotation marks? Are you being ironic? Like, keeping it safe, you know? And that ellipses, that dot, 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 makes me wonder what else was omitted from that statement. Like, keeping it safe. Kinda. Keeping it safe. Unless you're poor and black, in which case, forget you. Oh. So that was a little... Brandon's shaking his head, so it's cool. But for real, I'm not going to trust you if your motto is like the bare minimum of the service you're supposed to provide, right? Like, I'm not going to take my car to some place that's like, Jiffy Lube, changing oil. Hair cuttery, cutting hair. Gathered as much. So yeah, I grew up in this area, but like about an hour and a half outside of here in a mostly white community. I was the stain in the yearbook. Yeah. Yeah, people try, oh yeah. You clap now, but people were trying to return them because they thought they were defective. Like, oh, what is this? What is this? Just me browning things up, you guys. Yeah, isn't it great? But, oh, so I'm Iranian, in case you're wondering. And, you know, my people are in the news a lot these days, and it's not for anything good. And, you know, there's this perception of Iranians that we're this really angry, humorless people, which, like, doesn't make sense to me because I know my people, all right? For instance, do you know what the word for popcorn in Farsi literally translates into? Elephant farts.
Yeah!
That's for real. We're walking around being like, elephant farts, all in my mouth, yum, 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 yum. Bunch of 12-year-old boys. It's cool. Don't be scared. Yeah. But speaking of racism, that's still around, huh? Yeah? Yeah? That's a thing. You know, but not everyone agrees. Some people don't think racism still exists. And I think part of the reason behind that is that we don't have any more intellectual blatant racists, you know? I'm not talking about people who are like, I don't see color, but then they like don't want to live next door to black people. You know, I'm talking about like 1920s, eugenics, Great Gatsby kind of racism, right? I'm talking about like, okay, back in the day, there are all these people and you could say about them, oh, you know, he's a great writer, total genius, complete racist, but man, can he construct some prose, you know? Don't have any of that anymore. And, you know, in this day and age, if you're a blatant racist, I'm just not going to trust your opinions on matters of the day, you know? I recognize this even as a child that, you know, if you're a blatant racist, you're probably an idiot. I remember being 5 years old and in a swimming pool and a bunch of older boys swam up to me and they started like splashing me in my face and yelling, get out of here, Chinese girl, go back to China. And like yelling all these racial slurs at me. I'm like, but I'm not even Chinese. Like even at five, I was like, public schools are clearly failing you guys. You know, wasn't even offended. I was like, public education system, what are we going to do? Plus, you know, it's already a weird experience for something like that to happen. It's pretty surreal for someone to yell something like that at you or a racial slur. But it's even weirder when it's not the right one. You know, like, what do I do with your inaccurate racism? Do I correct you? Like, hey, I'm Persian. Come on, man. Also, inaccurate racism is like the only time someone will yell a racial slur and then immediately apologize for it right after. Yeah. Oh, my bad. I'll get you yet, racially ambiguous girl. So I saw Scout Mob promote this show. Anyone find out about it through that way? Yeah. I like online... If someone's like, fuck you, Ryan. I like online deals. I sometimes participate in them. Do you guys buy any of that crap online? Yeah. Three guys. Yeah, thank you. You know, but some of them are a little ridiculous. You know, there are just some things I'm hesitant to use a coupon for. You know, like such as reshaping my cornea with a laser. Groupon for LASIK. Get out of here with that. You know? Yes. I like it when people don't laugh. They're just like, yes. That's ridiculous. Because like it's like a doctor's cutting up your eye with beams of light. That should be a full price transaction, all right? I don't want a discount on that. In fact, I want to pay more. I want my laser eye surgeon to have a tip jar. Add a little incentive. Otherwise, it's going to be like, oh, fucked up this eye. It's cool, I got another. Whatever. I'm not Stevie Wonder. I'm not that talented. Pull off blindness. That's like the only blind person I could think of to reference. Him or Ray. And they both are playing pianos and black men, which I don't do any of that. Or well, yeah. Fodder for the... Oh, shit. Funny on multiple levels. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. Talk about it. Yeah, it's the best. Is it? So, the internet's pretty crazy. I'm on Twitter. You guys on this, like that segue? So what about this World Wide Web we got? Crazy thing. Okay, I talk about Twitter because I'm on it, and I'm on it all day. And sometimes I get worried that I'm going to tweet something and then die, and that'll be it. That'll be what people like quote in the newspaper that I was like doing before I died. It's like, because it's like a total reflection of who you are, and I'm like not that great, as that just like demonstrated earlier, the racism, yeah. But I really thought about this after Heavy D died. Because Heavy D, he tweeted out the phrase, live with inspiration, and then he died a few hours later. What? How did he know? I already know what my last tweet's going to be. I'm going to write something like, just hit my head on the toilet while picking up a donut. Don't ask. It's going to be my legacy. Donut toilet tweet. You know? So there are just some places I have no interest in visiting. I was talking to this British guy a few months ago, and he's like, when are you going to come visit England? And I'm like, never. Your food is terrible. It's like, for real, British people, how's your food going to be bland when you supposedly colonize all these people over some spices? You know? You're not even going to pretend that's what that was about, you know? But for real, it's fucked up to kill someone over some cumin. It's not that good. You know? Curry, maybe, I get it, but, you know. So, I don't know if we have any outdoorsy folks in the audience. You guys like camping? Into that? Sleeping outside in tents? So there's a trend in camping, and it's called glamping. And glamping stands for glamour camping, and this is a real thing, okay? So glamping is like regular camping, but, you know, you pay someone to set up your campsite, and there's like ice cream parties and video games for the kids. Glamping is why the terrorists hate us. That's why. That's the reason. No. Democracy, U.S. foreign policy, pretty sure it's playing Grand Theft Auto while camping. Pretty sure. Also, if you're the kid of an immigrant like me, there's like a 90% chance your parents thought camping was just a ridiculous idea, you know? It's like, you know, I'm working 20 hours a day so you can have a house to sleep inside of, right? You know? You want to sleep outside? All right, silly American daughter, whatever you say. Whatever you say. It's crazy American stuff! Woo! Hot dogs! Mac and cheese! Sleeping outside! Pretending you're homeless. So I don't have kids, but I like to judge people who do, because I'm a jerk. So does Chen. Yeah, so does Jen over here. She does that. I just don't understand buying really expensive things for kids, okay? Especially little kids and babies. Because I'm like, they don't know what money is, all right? These are people who are pooping in their pants while they're eating, okay? Their taste cannot be that discriminating, all right? Xbox? No, cardboard box. That's what my kids are getting. All right, Brandon, I think I should just end on that.
Alahe is out, everybody. Sit down, Alahe. Thank you.
Oh, no.
All right. Everything was fine until the last joke. You realize what Jen did last night, correct?
Oh, yeah, I know. I referenced pooping
for
twice.
For the people who just arrived, I shit my pants last night.
So
I had a pooping thing twice, didn't
just
I?
Just to catch you guys up.
No,
I'm
but
a,
you
I'm
equated
a real catch.
You equated shitting your pants to being a baby.
No, I said shitting your pants while you're eating. Jen, were you eating?
I was driving my car.
That's an adult thing. That's so, an adult
that's
thing.
The difference.
That's really nice. Adult thing to do.
You would never shit your pants while you're like taking a bite of a
well,
burger.
Well, hold on.
Your,
oh,
see?
Oh, dug myself in a hole.
Because
literally.
If you think about it. If you ate on the toilet, it would cut out the middleman, right?
So all right, I can get down with that.
Okay.
I can get down
you
with
just
that.
Explained human centipede.
Yeah.
Alahe, why are you in Seattle often?
I have a lot of friends who live there. I actually was there a few weeks ago.
All right.
I thought you just liked grunge.
No. None of them are grungy, actually.
Did you refer to yourself in your yearbook bit as a brownie-faced Iranian girl?
I did not say those exact
words. What did you say?
Stain. I said I was the stain in the yearbook.
That's hilarious.
I love that.
That's
so
good.
So
funny.
Yeah, it's good.
I was like, oh, I wish I thought of that, except I'm white.
Yeah. Nice job.
When you have thought of
Aryan race. Jen, what color is your hair?
Who knows? it's probably brown.
What color are your eyes?
Green.
There you go.
I'm so pretty.
You
must be
are.
Really hard, right? Yeah.
Alahe, you have some very, very good bits, and all of these could be album titles. Racially Ambiguous Girls, very good.
Rag. That works. That works. Totally. Because I'm a woman, you know?
You're a woman.
Exactly.
Donut Toilet Tweet.
Yes.
Silly American Daughter.
Yeah.
Sad.
That sounds like a sitcom name.
Sad.
Sad.
Mm. Yeah, I like all these.
Yeah.
Thanks.
When did you start doing comedy?
I first started back in 06, but it's been very on and off.
Why has it been on and off?
Because, like, I left the country for years.
Where did you go?
I lived in Panama.
Why?
You love canals.
That should have got a bigger laugh. That was
you
fucking
love hats.
Funny.
That was good. I'll that keep was. Going. What else do they have there?
You so like you lived in Panama for...
Yeah, for like 9 months.
Why?
I'm going to sound like a jerk. I was volunteering.
That's not a jerk. Why are you equating doing good things with being a jerk?
I wasn't really doing anything. I was like reading.
Wait.
Don't heckle me. I know that guy. It's cool.
Wait. So you were like doing volunteer work with literature and you think that sounds like a jerk?
No, not with literature. I
you
was
said
just,
you were reading.
She was literally just
I was
there
like,
to read.
I was doing stuff, but then like a lot of my time was just spent reading.
Boo! I love when friends show up and ruin sex. It's delightful.
Ryan, stop.
So you've been doing this since 06 and it's been on and off. What do you want to get from this comedy thing? You actually have a really great job. I won't talk about it because I don't know if you want to. You know
I know
what I mean?
I know that you write.
Yeah.
You're a journalist.
I'm a reporter. I'm
a
journalist.
You're a real journalist.
Yeah. Bona fide. Is that a word? Is that
that's
right?
a word. That's oh, a brother, word. We're out taught us that.
That's a $2 word. Bona fide.
Are you a Dapper Dan man?
Well, so...
Thank you.
I don't watch Mad Men.
That's from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, I don't know.
2000.
Six, roughly
Cohen,
when you started comedy.
Cohen,
no, I'm kidding.
Cohen Brothers. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I'm lost. So you asked what my goal
in
is.
Transition.
Yes,
right,
what is your goal with this?
I would like to bring these two worlds together, and I'm kind of getting there.
Really? You
want to write comedy?
No, I mean, I think that the appeal of things like The Daily Show and Colbert Report kind of touch on a nerve, but there's more to be explored there because they come at it from a particular slant mm-hmm. that's very obvious, but I think there's more to do in the objective realm of journalism.
Okay.
That's a comedic take because basically all comedy is where tragedy, irony, reality, where all those things intersect.
What about farts?
I mean, and there's always, but there's farts in journalism too. So journalism is the...
I will
elaborate, please.
I will believe it when I read it.
Hey, if...
Print it.
If I'm writing about some official and he farts, I'm going to write about it. So
are you serious?
Maybe.
God, I hope one of them farts.
There's a one in one chance of
an
that
official
happening.
Official fart.
How do you like D.C.? How does it compare to Panama?
It's cool. I'm from around here.
Where are you from?
Well,
she's a Maryland girl.
Yeah,
up
I'm
top.
A Maryland girl.
Thank
I was
you.
Born in D.C., grew up in Maryland.
I was born in D.C. I also grew up in Maryland.
Hey.
Sorry.
Solid. Let's just gang up.
Where are you from again?
Chicago.
No, you're not. Where are you from again?
Chicago.
Are you literally from Chicago?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to your family's house and prove this.
Find my dad.
Fine. You find my dad. You find my dad.
And the gauntlet is thrown down.
Oh.
Father's Day edition.
Well, you know what? Father's Day is actually next weekend, which is funny because we don't have fathers, so how
What's
would I
up?
Know? How would I even know?
We
I
are the M&Ms of comedy.
I thought it was this weekend. Somebody asked me, when's Father's Day? I was like, I don't fucking know. I don't have a dad.
Every day. Every day is when we look for our father.
Every day.
On that day.
I pick out a new dad every day.
Yep. That's how we...
It's not sad, you guys.
You guys laugh. It's all right.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I commandeered your...
So, nice, you had a nice dad, and now you go up here and make sillies.
Rub it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, but I don't make sillies of him.
Yeah, we're different people. Maybe if I knew my dad, I could make sillies. I'm
Maybe
sorry.
Her dad is your dad.
You do make
Is your dad my dad?
I don't think so.
Why not? Sorry. Okay. We're going to end this interview before I have to go to a therapist for more money. I need you to pick a number between 52 and 74. I'm going to ask you a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD. Feel free to lie.
Okay, I will lie.
52. Fantastic. In general, do you think men or women talk more freely about their sex lives and their romances? Why do you think this is so? Are there things about your relationship that you might talk about with someone else, but nevertheless would expect your partner not to reveal to anyone? Do you care whether other people view you as a good partner or not?
I already forgot the first question.
Do you talk about fucking?
No, the question was, do men or women do,
okay,
talk about
fine.
It, right?
Yeah, whatever.
I think women talk more freely about it.
Okay. Yeah. Would you talk about fucking to other people and expect the bro, I'm to not talk about the same
bro.
Stuff about fucking?
Sure.
Okay. And do you care about what other people think? Are you cool like Eminem and Us? And don't give a fuck.
That
was perfect. Alahi can be found where online?
Follow me on Twitter.
Exactly.
Alahi Azadi.
Is there an underscore in your name?
No, it's straight up.
Like a fucking champion.
Right? No one else got it.
Does
no
not require an underscore because she knows what's up. She knows social media. She's going to tweet
the
shit out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I like following Alahi because it's a good mix of like jokes and like actually informative news stuff, so it's nice.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, okay.
Nope. Figure it out. If you're listening to the show, it's
then
in the podcast description.
It.
You don't. You're never gonna spell it right. There's like 18 Q's and stuff. So I want to thank.
There's like a seven in there.
There's many
there's
numerical.
Ampersand.
Her. Yeah, that's stupid. I was gonna say something dumber
okay.
than.
Edit. Thanks, guys.
God damn it, ladies and gentlemen. Please put your hands together for Alahi Azadi. Shot, mom spaghetti. My friend Cheddar Bob got shot in the leg. That guy fucked my girl. Ah! This kid went to private school. Thank you.
That was really good. That was really good. I was going to tell you a story.
Could you make it quick?
About when I was accidentally racist.
Keep going.
I was moving the other day and I hired some black movers.
Ooh. Bad choice.
That's where I went wrong. No. And
what?
No, I'm saying they happened to be black because they were. And I had
You got racist again.
I had my iTunes on, and then Public Enemy kept cycling through. And every time that did, I was like aware of it. So at one point I went, I just want you guys to know that I'm not putting this on so that you guys think I'm down.
So that was intentionally racist.
I just love Public Enemy. This is what I said to them. Because I felt bad. And then one guy goes, you could have put Kings of Leon on. And I said, I hate them. And he just moved my couch out. And that was all we did. So that was when I was...
As opposed to all those other movers who make you meals? Like,
They
eat mom spaghetti. They're on the bus. Their palms are sweaty.
They vomited on his sweater. 8 Mile. Thank you.
Coming to the stage, this guy is, he doesn't get a lot of stage time, and he's got this big presentation coming up, and I think for him to do well on this presentation, he needs some stage time. So please, give him your ears, give him your eyes. He's got a lot of important things to say. I think the things he says are very informative, and when he asked me to do the show... And he told me what he was going to do. I thought it was good because it gave our show some cultural diversity. So, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Adam Friedland.
Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Adam Friedland. Right now I take a class at Howard University Medical Center, continued education, night school, music appreciation, and I have a presentation coming up that I want to practice my presentation for all of you guys today for music appreciation. The type of music that I'm talking about today is rap music. Rap music is a very exciting type of music, and it's also very popular. Rapping is performed when the singer of the rap song says the words, like talking. Okay, sometimes it's full sentences, and sometimes also it's fragments. Sometimes it rhymes, and sometimes it doesn't rhyme as good. Sometimes it's boys, and sometimes it's girls, like Trina or something. Sometimes the songs are very smart, and sometimes Cameron writes the song. Point number I. Where is rap from? Is it like a baby? Does it come from a stork? Rapping is an American art form. The first rapping appeared in 1776, the year of Columbus on the Nina Pinta Santa Maria. And it was performed on December 25th, which is the day of Christ. And the next appearance of rap was the Beatles. And then that was followed by the Sex Pistols. And then that was followed by George Gershwin. And then that was followed by Bob Dylan, all the way to the hip-a-da-hop-hop and you don't stop Rapper's Delight, which was one of the first rap songs ever to get big on the pop charts. But I'm going to make a pun about pop tarts for my class. They're going to really like it. They're going to think it's funny. Number II. What does rap mean? Sometimes rap can be political, like the group Pubic Emini. Other times raps can be like questions, like where they just ask questions the whole time. Other times, raps can be both political and question, like, who let the dogs out? And let's face it, guys, a lot of rappers are criminals, like Bill Smith, for instance. But don't let that intimidate you. Recently, in the news, there's been a lot of stuff about the wars between the rappers from the East and the Western rappers. Some examples of rappers from the East are Lauryn Hill and the Fuggies. And some of the rappers from the West is like Ice Cub from the Brothers with Bad Attitudes. Point number III. Drake. Drake is one of the most important. Drake is one of the most important things to happen to rap since Parole.
Oh my god!
Aubrey Drake is a Jewish Canadian rapper who is signed to Young Money Entertainment. A lot of people give Drake a hard time because he's emotionally honest, and I don't think that's fair, because when Drake is singing, I feel like he's singing into my heart. Drake... Drake is also very scientific, because his voice is the same voice as Stephen Hawking's. Which is, that's very scientific. Before Drake's last album dropped, the streets were saying it was an instant classic. And then the streets decided not to be nice to Drake anymore. So hopefully you found this presentation on rap music to be informative. We've discussed where rap comes from, what rap is like, and Drake. Thank you very much.
Adam Fralin, everybody. Adam, would you like to sit? Why don't you sit down, buddy? Adam, I want to thank you for teaching us about rap music.
Thanks. It's a very new but exciting type of music, and I want everyone to get into it. It's becoming part of the pop charts.
Are you a big fan of the charts?
Yeah, I go on the charts all the time. Billboard.com, VH1.com, RollingStone.com. Those are some of the best charts if you want to check them out.
What is your favorite type of chart?
A Venn diagram.
My favorite type of...
Go ahead, Adam. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
My favorite type of chart is well, generally like pop charts.
Okay.
Pop charts.
Pop chart charts.
Also, the highest grossing movies of the week.
Good.
Is very fun to look at. And then also, the thing about Drake is there's like, if he has his own charts.
Oh, Drake has his own chart. I didn't know that.
They're Canadian, yeah. So they're backwards.
Yeah. Well, the thing that people don't appreciate is Drake is a quadruple threat, okay?
Really?
He's good at acting. He's good at singing. He's good at rapping. And he's also good at kissing. So,
okay. I didn't know that Drake was good at kissing.
Yeah, well, there's a lot that you can learn about rap from Drake. It's probably one of the best examples of rap if you're interested in it.
I before you came up here, I didn't know what rap was. And now I feel like I have a good grasp on that musical genre.
Well, that's what we do on this show. We learn and we love.
That's true.
That's really what I just got to thank you about, man. It's been a great ride.
It has been a great ride. Adam, you have your big presentation coming up.
Yeah, I hope it goes all right.
I think it's going to go just fine. I think you're prepared. I was just wondering, why are you going to the Howard University Medical School for your music class?
Well, at first I didn't... Well, okay. So at first, I was just hanging out around there.
Of course.
And then I met this guy.
Yes.
And his name is Tony.
Tony.
And he wears waistcoats with no shirt underneath. And he says that he's teaching a class on rap. So every Monday through Thursday...
Well, this is four nights a week.
This is a very intense class.
Yeah. After open mics, I go hang out with Tony... and Tony's also really hilarious.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Tony and I, he was like, Adam, have you ever gotten nipple piercing? I was like, no, I haven't gotten nipple piercing.
Oh. Tony sounds exciting.
And then he's like, "Do you
want
to be
blood brothers?"
And I said, "Yeah, I want to be blood brothers with you."
Are you guys blood brothers now?
Yeah, but like he said that when I get my diploma, we can like tell our families and stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful. How did you become blood brothers? Like, what was the process like?
Well, first you have bar mitzvah. You got to go to the rabbi. You got to go up to the rabbi. You got to read the Torah.
Is Tony Jewish?
What?
Is Tony Jewish?
No, Tony isn't Jewish, but he wants to learn about it.
So you're kind of teaching Tony.
Music appreciation.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So he gets to learn Judaism, and you get to learn about rap music. And at the end, you
also
both become blood brothers.
Self-defense.
Self-defense?
Yeah.
Who's teaching who self-defense?
Tony is teaching me self-defense.
What is the first lesson Tony taught you about self-defense?
Don't talk about self-defense.
If a hobo comes up to you,
yes,
you gotta say, talk to the hand.
You have to eat his face.
And if they don't talk to, if they talk to the hand, then you gotta punch him in the dick.
Oh,
so
you know what? I think that's pretty good advice. I think punching people in the dick. Is
a
good
junk
advice.
Punch.
Dude, honestly, can I be Adam Freeland for a
second?
Yeah,
let's do it, buddy. Yeah,
My parents have listened to every one of these podcasts.
Yeah.
Oh. And hey, Adam's parents.
I always say something about a dick or something. And then they...
Adam, I think they know you have one.
They think that I'm crazy. They think that I'm a crazy person. And it's been a year of me just being fucking crazy on the internet. Sorry, Mom, for fuck. And I'm just...
You can be yourself.
Brandon, I would just like you to say to Max and Joanne Friedland right now, on the internet...
Did you say Jonah Friedland?
Joanne Friedland.
Oh, I'm like, Judah Friedlander is your father?
I would just like you to tell them that I'm funny, and that I have a voice.
Mr. and... I agree, crowd, I agree.
My grandma listened to one the other day that my parents showed her. The one about giving blowjobs to lions.
Oh. the pride.
And they want to... I'm going home next weekend, and they want to fucking sit me down. My dad just called me about it.
You're going to get a comedy intervention.
They're like, we were going to go to the zoo, but... Not now.
Mr. and Mrs. Friedland, I want to, first of all, thank you for producing such a very funny, nice human being.
Thank you.
Number two, and probably more importantly... Adam actually is funny and has the potential to make something out of this.
Do you hear that? That's on the internet, Mom.
So don't.
That's true. I think you've raised a wonderful son. I think that he's making the right decision in getting out of this town. It's going to make you try harder. You're going to be great.
Thanks, Brandon. And you, I just want to say, I would have probably been in the Potomac River naked and dead if it wasn't for Brandon telling me to keep
trying. Did you hear that,
trying,
Mom and Dad?
Keep trying.
Naked and dead.
And I think it's only right that you get a question to close out your time here with us.
Sure.
From the Book of Questions, Love and Sex. So, okay. Adam, I need you to pick a number between 55 and 74.
I'm going to pick lucky number 55.
55. A final question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex.
All right.
Are there ways... Oh, this is good. Are there ways in which your parents treat each other that you do not like, but somehow, despite your efforts to do otherwise, seem to have imitated in your own involvements? If so... Do you think you have any idea why you've been unable to break these patterns?
Well, my parents have just make out all the time. In the dinner table, everywhere. And me and my sister don't know what to do. And it's disgusting. And I think that in my real life, I am really afraid to make out with women now, so I'd like to also tell them thank you. Oh, I just ruined all the goodwill with that.
You did. It was awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, guys, thanks a lot. It's been fun to do this podcast.
Adam Freeland, everybody. Yeah. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, give me your ears, give me your eyes. Please put your hands together for Johari, everybody. Yeah!
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Is true. The trail led to the river. I walked the bank until the creek ran dry. I thought I might be delivered if I could make it to the other side. I didn't find salvation. I stumbled on something just as real, a different sort of sensation. I kind of never had the heart to fail. Is it really you? Just cigarettes and perfume. Cause reconstructing redolence is something I can't do. And if it's really me and not just cologne and top blue jeans, then sweetheart, it might mean this love is true. Well, I can feel it in my skin. It's welling up within. And I swear I've never been this moved by anything. It might mean this love is true.
Microphone and another on the door. My feet are planted firmly on the stage. And the clamor of the audience becomes a muffled roar. She walks in, the whole world falls away. And I'm not the only one impressed by the way she wears that jet black dress. But with any luck, she'll be coming home with me. I got it bad, worse than I ever had. For a vision cloak like shadows in the night. And I never guessed that a slinky jet black dress could lead me from the darkness to the light. But oh, what a sight. With the back of my mind on the music, she's preoccupied the front. And I'm filling up another empty page. Never would have imagined that everything I could ever want could be wrapped up in a dress of silk and lace. And I'm not the kind of second guess, but the way she wears that jet black dress can only mean she's wearing it for me. I got it bad, worse than I ever had. For a vision cloak like shadows in the night. And I never guessed that a slinky jet black dress could lead me from the darkness to the light. But oh, what a sight. I hate to play the fool, but I'm losing all my cool. And when she's by my side, I fall apart. Well, I didn't realize till I looked into her eyes that somewhere in this chest still beats a heart. Oh, I got it back. Worse than I ever had. For a vision glowed like
slinky jet-black dress could lead me from the darkness to the light. But oh, what a sight!